welcome to Ray and Tay Today. Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. We're on live during March Madness.
Woo!
So listen to us and watch the madness. We know you can multitask. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, loving what's been going on. Everybody's bracket's a mess, but you know what? Give us a call. We'll talk about it. And some NBA hoops. Give us a ring. 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. And we got a special guest just to whet your appetite with a little bit of information going on in the NBA. Ray, let them know who's joining us.
We got a special guest from Bleacher Report, Jared Zwirling. So he's an NBA guy, but he's all-around hoops guy. So we'll talk to him about March Madness and then get into the NBA, which will be April Madness, but it's right around the corner. So, yeah, we're lucky to have Jared on the line with us. He'll call us in about 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, from the Bleacher Report, too. You know, Bleacher's big time now, man. So, you know, Jared's been with, ESPN, Sports Illustrated, CBS, but he's with Bleacher, so he's doing big things. So let's talk about it, man. Our hearts are broken. Our Tar Heels lost in the craziest ending ever. Kentucky beats Wichita State. Creighton's getting smacked. I mean, I don't even know where to start. Dayton yesterday. Tell me, what's on your mind, man? Let's talk about these brackets.
So it's amazing. It always happens. You just don't know when.
Yeah.
Or with what team?
A 10 against 11 for the Elite Eight, right? Stanford against Dayton.
How great is that? Stanford.
And if Tennessee beats Mercer.
If Tennessee beats Mercer, you'll have another one. 11 against the that's 11 and 14 to go to the Great Eight. So great, great games. But let's talk about one in particular. Let's start with Wichita State, Kentucky. Game that ended a few hours ago.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was a great game because nobody missed free throws. This wasn't a North Carolina State St. Louis game where there were, you know, 30 plus missed free throws. I mean, it's just a game. It was great execution on both sides. Clutch threes from both sides.
Yeah.
Your man Klee Anthony early did his thing, but ultimately
31.
The Harrison twins put on 39.
Weren't they impressive? Now, we could ask Jared about that because he talks about, you know, talking about this NBA and the NBA draft. The Harrison twins, Ray, that was special. That, to me, showed me some NBA talent. Andrew handling the ball, 20 points, and Aaron, 19. That was really impressive, and they kept the team in motion just like they did against Kansas State. No turnovers, ran down the clock, and always got a good shot. Coach Calipari's got to be loving this.
Well, the lefty, I got to point out the lefty.
Yeah.
Hit a couple clutch shots, that big clutch three with about 2 minutes to go. You know, you figure all the NBA scouts were looking at Randall, and of course he's the best prospect on that team, but it was nice to see other people step up. So Kentucky may have played their best game, and you know what? Wichita State didn't play a bad game. And like
Kenny
Smith said, Wichita State, even when you do the polls at the end of the season, should be a top four team. I mean, they're that good. They just happen to run into 5, 6, 7 talented kids in Kentucky.
And Kentucky's not an 8 seed.
Very well. They're not.
We all know they're not an 8 seed.
Well, that's also another interesting thing. You have a Kentucky-Louisville rematch where Kentucky is an 8 seed and Louisville's a 4 seed. So both of these teams are misseeded, but you know what? You got to win on the court, on a neutral court. You got to show what you got.
Kentucky beat them again. Remember, they beat them earlier in the season. This is going to be interesting for Hancock and Russ Smith. They're going to have to really step up. And you got a lot of potential NBA talent in that game. But talking about NBA talent, Wiggins, 4 points. Are you kidding me? Stanford beats Kansas to advance. Kansas, they couldn't even advance to get Joel Embiid back next week. So I got to believe Joel is not going to go to the NBA. I think he's going to come back. The question is, what do Wiggins and Parker do? That was both ended horribly. You talk about freshmen one and done. These two guys for Duke and for Kansas, they couldn't even get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, but you know what? If you're a top five pick, you go out. Look at what Marcus Smart did, right? His team lost this year. They're a one and done, but he came back. Last year he would have been a top five. And
it
now
wasn't worth
I gotta think maybe he's top 10,
he regrets
top 12.
It.
You got the point guard from Australia who's probably because
excellent,
of the unknown
yeah.
factor, might be the number one point guard taken. And then you have all these forwards. So I don't know. If you're Jabari Parker or Andrew Wiggins, I feel like the way the cards are lined up, you should come out. You almost have to. Now, Joel Embiid's another story because big men typically develop late or they take longer to develop. So I would like to see him come out and then be the number one pick. But if people whisper in his ear that he's a top three pick, it's hard not to take the money and come out.
You know, it's looking good. UCLA against Stephen F. Austin. And UCLA's got some NBA talent, Ray. I told you, I like these guys on their team, man.
Zach LaVine is the athlete, but the shooter.
Yeah.
The question is this kid Kyle Anderson, right? He's 6'9".
Oh, gosh,
not very athletic, though. But
he
does. I mean, they call him Magic Johnson.
But then he does athletic stuff, though. That's what's so crazy, because he's, like, big, and he can pass, and he rebounds. Basketball IQ is really good.
He's a great, great college player, and I think that he'd be a very good, you know, player in Europe, let's say. And in the NBA, the one thing, and maybe this is something we can ask Jared about, the one thing I feel like you have to do in the NBA is you have to be really good at something. There are very
even
few
if it's one thing,
NBA
like Kyle Korver.
I'd almost be rather tell some kid, be great at something. If you want to make the NBA, be great at something than be good at a lot of things. Because there's always going to be somebody taller, stronger, faster, more athletic, more, you know. So Kyle Anderson is this case where he's just a phenomenal basketball player. But play small forward in the NBA with those crazy athletes?
I don't know.
Sure.
I think I could see Parker and Wiggins there, but I don't know about Kyle Anderson. It's sort of like a, you know, poor man's Derek McKee. You know, I mean, maybe that's the situation. But you know what makes me happy? Just talking real quick about the NBA. The Knicks are winning and the Hawks lost. So at 29-40, going to hopefully hold on and win and be 30-40. And then the Hawks are only 37, I'm sorry. So the Knicks are really right there. It's just, three and a half, four back? You got to like it. Three in the loss column, and there would just be one in the win column. The Hawks have played more games.
Yeah, so, I mean, right now the Knicks are two and a half games back, and then if they win this game against Cleveland, they'll be two games back.
Right, but
right?
The Hawks have played more games. But that's
the three in the loss column, though. That's the key.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of hyped up. Nine in a row, baby. Come on.
Yeah, well, if they hadn't lost seven in a row leading up to that, we'd be talking playoff right now.
Hey, let me ask you this, though. When you look in that projecting out, can Kentucky – what if you had the Blue Bloods, Kentucky against UCLA in the Final Four? That would be amazing with this Kentucky talent.
That
I think we got our
crazy guest
on. Let's talk NBA.
Let's
come in. And that is with Jared Zerling. Jared, you on the air with Ray and Tay. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing, man? I'm just out of Miami, chilling.
Nice.
There you go. Well, thank you for joining us. You know, we had to talk to our super-duper friend, Mr. Burgos, making it happen, so we really appreciate it. I know that you are an aficionado and a great NBA writer. We read your stuff. We love it and enjoy it. Let's jump right in, because you made a comment on Twitter, and I read your stuff. You know, you're pretty funny, Jared, but I want to ask you, when everyone is so hyped up and almost drunk off of this draft class and these freshmen throw in Marcus Smart too, and then you see the madness going on. Wiggins is gone. Parker's gone. Smart should have went to the draft. He's gone out of the tournament. how do you think NBA scouts and GMs really look at these guys? Because you know everybody gets a little overly excited with the tournament. How do you view these guys, and should they be one and done and go to the pros, Wiggins and Parker especially?
Well, it's a very deep draft class, obviously. I think it's deep enough where you can kind of pick based on what position you need. But I think also through this tournament and just overall this season, that, you know, they've watched how these guys lead, how they dive for loose balls, how they communicate in huddles with their coaches. If they miss two shots in a row, are they making it up on defense? Are they, moving up the ball? Are they setting back screens? What's their IQ like? So there's other things that they're looking at for sure. That beyond, you know, all these guys are talented scorers and they're very athletic and, you know, things like that. But that's what's going to separate the talent and also two positions. You know, you look at the top three. Let's say prospects Julius Randle, Jabari Parker, Andrew Wiggins. You know, all three are much different players. You know, if you need a guy who can be a banger down low and you're like a Zach Randolph type, you go with a guy like Julius Randle. If you need a two guard, you know, in the line of maybe a DeMar DeRozan potentially, who can play off the wing and also drive and you know, throw up massive dunks and things like that. You go for Wiggins. You want a versatile kind of Carmelo Anthony type who can maybe play some post, who could, you know, has a great lethal outside jumper, who can also play some two as well. You know, you go with Parker. So there's definitely great versatility. And also Parker brings great rebounding at his position, better than, I think, at Wiggins. You know, I talked to Rod Higgins, the GM or the president of basketball ops for the Bobcats. He loves his second jump. What he means by that is his ability to go up for that second offensive rebound and put the ball back. I kind of like how Melo does it very well with Nick. So I think it's just a great, deep draft class. I think that really no matter what happens in this tournament, I think all these guys will remain in the top three or four or five. So, but, you know, they've proven all season long that they're just such talented players. So I'm very interested to see how all this shapes up in June.
Nice. Hey, Jared, this is Ray. Let me ask you something. Eastern Conference. So we're big Knicks fans. Knicks look like if they hold on tonight against Cleveland, they'll be two back, three in the loss column. So question number one, can the Knicks catch Atlanta for the number 8 seed? And then question number two is we heard today that Indiana just lost a big fella. He's out indefinitely as they were trying to get him back into the rotation. So what do you think about Indiana's chances against the Heat in the 7-game series, whether it's that game 7 is in Indiana or in Miami?
Well, the Knicks starting off with that, you know, they have a very tough stretch to close the season out. I think they're playing the top 7 games to close the season against those teams over 500. So that's very interesting to watch. You know, they're winning 7-8 games in a row right now because they're playing a lot of poor teams and they're taking care of business, which you like to see, obviously, you know. Credit beyond Melo to Louis Stoudemire. He's been playing terrific basketball. I had dinner with him on Monday night, and I did a big feature on him. He's playing fantastic basketball. He's missed only 16 games this year. He's missed 72 the last two before this season. So he's healthy. He's back to being explosive. And really that second scorer that the Knicks need right now, especially with some inconsistencies with their ball movement. And they need some second scorer to really be consistent. And, you know, he had 21 points and 22 points, so he's looking fantastic. He's very efficient. So they're going to need him in a very big way. But, you know, overall, they're just playing just tremendous team basketball. You know, they're getting great floor spacing. They're getting great defensive stops against the Pacers every night. They play great team basketball on defense. And they're important transition. They have so much firepower, energy. You know, Knicks sometimes lack that energy through the losing streak, but they're really just showing that aggression. And you love to see that from their leadership with Melo and Tyson and Amari really setting the tone. So it's great to see. I'm just curious to see how they're going to play consistent basketball against the top, you know, these top teams down the stretch. That's a big question. And they're right there. If the Hawks can keep losing, if the Knicks can jump to that 8 seed, I don't see them going past 7, though. I don't see the Wizards or the Bulls or the Nets really relenting at this point. I think they're really going to kind of be pretty consistent. So the question is, if they get to that 7th or 8 seed, can they upset the Pacers or the Heat? That's going to be a very tough
battle. Let's see them make the playoffs first. Well, they did a
No, Jared, exactly. You went there, so let me jump on that because
Exactly.
But didn't you – I mean, you almost felt it the other night, and I think there's something in the air in the Garden now. People who work for MSG, everyone says it. Phil Jackson's there. I wanted to find out your thoughts on that. But even with you talking to Amari, you know, Amari wants to come back next year, and everyone's talking about the Knicks in 2015, and we'll see how the roster plays out next year. But if the Knicks could get in, I wonder, you know, who's Phil's guy? Would he keep Woody if the Knicks could upset the Pacers, or would he keep Woody if the Knicks win two games against the Pacers? Because the way the Knicks are playing, if they do make it, they do potentially match up well against the Pacers, no Bynum and, you know, no Granger, and we'll see what Evan Turner can do. What are your thoughts about that, and do you think Phil likes Amari and Melo and what he can do with the rest of, you know, the
team? No, it's a great question. You know, I always believe that the coach stays if the best player likes the coach. And I go back to, like, look at the Chicago Bulls with Joakim Noah and Tom Thibodeau, Tim Duncan and Greg Popovich. And, you know, there's definitely the relationship between the coach and the star player has to be there to set the tone. Melo loves listening. And the obvious reason is that isolation basketball. You know, it's Melo's ball game. And that's the relationship that starts with Carmelo and Woodson. And Woodson is well liked by the guys. You know, he's an old school player's coach. He's, you know, he doesn't look into analytics too much. He's kind of like a player. You know, it's funny. I was talking to Mara over dinner, and I said, Mara, do you even look at analytics? He's like, what's that? And he was saying, you know, Coach Woodson doesn't even look at analytics. You know, he's an old school guy. And, you know, he cracks jokes from the guy. So he's a player's coach. Now, you bring up a great question with Phil Jackson. He's never worked with a coach like Mike Woodson, you know, and all indications point to Woodson probably not returning. He still wants to do the triangle offense. There's no question about it. That's all he's known in, you know, 20-plus years in the league. You know, he's not going to relate to a Woodson-type offense. Even though at the time, you know, Woodson last year showed that two-point guard lineup and that ball movement, but that's not a – that's more of a D'Antoni-style offense. That's not a, you know, a three-triangle with, you know, off-the-ball guys that can hit three-point shots. So I personally see coaching change. And that's not necessarily just the Woodson. I think he's done an okay job with the roster he's been dealt. A lot of injuries. It's definitely a flawed roster. Not a lot of two-way players. You can play both ends of the court. But I still personally believe with now Jackson in the picture, with him trying to institute more of his team basketball approach to the triangle, I think that it'll be a different coach. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, Melo, I'm sure, will support, you know, Woodson down the stretch. But, you know, with the team's woes this year and with Jackson in the picture, I just think that something will change.
Well, it's funny, Jared, you bring up an interesting point. You say that the guy that Phil wants, he'll want somebody to run the triangle offense. There aren't that many people qualified to do that. Tex Winter's not around anymore.
I was
going to
say,
we're going to
bring Jim Clemens here? Jim Clemens?
Jimmy Clemens, Steve Kerr. I mean, your list of potential candidates is, you got to put it maybe on one hand. I mean, that's got to hamstring, you know, Phil, because
Hold up a second. Well, not to cut you off, the triangle offense, if you're an NBA coach, you study systems. You know what a flex is versus a triangle versus a lot of these coaches that have been in the NBA for years and years and years, you know, some of these coaches really kind of know the triangle. They just may not have used it because they had something maybe they thought was better or, you know, with a top-level coach coming in and with Phil in the picture, Phil is a genius at basketball. If he had to really get a coach who maybe has maybe used some triangle in the past, maybe a guy that still respects this because he's a great coach, you know, yes, I do agree there are limited triangle guys or triangle gurus out there, but, you know, if you study enough triangle and you're a top-level coach and you're smart enough to grasp it and with maybe some, you know, connection with Phil Jackson, you know, you probably can come in and maybe implement it. And let me also say this. There aren't too many, quote-unquote, systems in the NBA anymore. It's just not a system league. The players are too athletic. The high pick and roll has changed.
Right, it's pick and roll, exactly.
It's not the way basketball was in the 80s and 90s. So even if you do want to implement a triangle, you won't have a 100% triangle offense. You might have elements of a triangle, but there's no systems in the NBA anymore. And that has to also do with coaching changes. Last year, there were 13, 14 coaching changes. Coaches that don't have time to implement a system anymore. The pressure to win is really high level right now. Owners don't have patience as much. So with the athleticism, with the changes in, you know, the CBA and all this stuff. So my point is, you're not going to come in and just run a complete restructuring of the system. You might have elements of that system. But, like, for example, with Mike Woodson, he runs elements of a flex offense. It's not a flex system, but there are elements of a flex offense in it. And so that's my point. So, you know, I think that Phil can rework with the coach to get it right. Maybe he has faith in Woodson and he can do it. But I just feel like, just because of what the Knicks sponsored this year with their losing and with Phil coming out, I just sent the coaching change. I could be wrong, but that's just what I sent.
Yeah. Listen, Jared, we thank you for coming on. I know you're busy with the family and you got to run, but I got to send you off on this, and we'd love to have you back, especially if the Knicks make the playoffs. But I got to ask you this. Let's have some fun. How's your bracket looking, and who'd you pick in the Final Four?
My bracket's already a mess, man. I mean, like everybody else. Everybody was too trying to go for that $1 billion, you know, tournament run. I think your dreams have been diminished. You know, I'm sitting outside a restaurant right now, and I see this Ferrari down parked on South Beach. And I'm thinking, man, I can't buy that Ferrari now because of my tournament bracket's all messed up. So
Jared, are you admitting that you picked Duke or something? Is that what you want to say?
Yeah, I had Duke going far, for sure. I had Kentucky go a little further, but, you know, by the way, you know, Kentucky did their thing. But, yeah, so we'll see, man. But thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in, Jared.
We look out for you on Twitter, Bleacher Report, and we had a great time.
You too, man.
All right, take care, Jared. Enjoy the weather.
Guys. You got it.
Bye.
Bye.
Great, man. Jared Ziering, Bleacher Report. NBA guy, he breaks it down and knows his stuff. You got to read his articles, man. He really gets, especially we didn't get a chance to ask him. We'll talk to him another time about it with Pat Croce, you know, with Iverson and the retirement and what Croce's been through. And, you know, like to hear some more insight about Amari, because I think Amari has gotten a bad rap in New York. Because remember, no one would have come to New York if it wasn't for Amari. And yes, he's had the injuries, but I think Amari's a really good Nick and a good guy. And I think if he's healthy, look at what he's done. I mean, he's played his butt off.
Well, I think the problem is he'll never be healthy again, at least not to the level where he was, where he dominated. You know, he reminds me a little bit of a guy that you know, is in our hearts, young man from Alabama. You know who I'm talking about.
I know.
Man, it showed up at your New Year's party.
Yeah,
so
Antonio McDice.
Let the fans know. Yeah, when you rely on your athleticism and your athleticism gets diminished because of injury, not even because of age. We haven't even gotten there with age because Amari's still, 30 years old, 29, 30?
Right.
Because he came in out of high school. So that's tough. You got to reinvent your game, and then you're at the whim of how long your body can hold up. By the way, UCLA just won, so congrats. So the UCLA fans out there, they're going to the final, to the Sweet 16. Sorry,
77-60.
Yep,
they're strong. They're strong. And then go ahead, update the other scores.
Baylor is up 42-23 on Creighton. So it looks like Dougie McBucket's season might be over unless he can have a crazy turnaround. And this game looks
to be a
great game.
This is going
to
be it. I told you.
Virginia are basically tied. It's 16-15 Memphis. 8:45 left in the first half. So a lot of good.
And then the nightcap game is out here, baby. Arizona. By the time I get to
Arizona.
I think Arizona is going to put it on Gonzaga. I really do.
Sleep on the Ziggy Zag. But you're right. I believe that you're right. But you know what? I'll never sleep on Mark Few. He always can pull a rabbit out of a hat, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Hey,
we didn't get to mention this.
But
Arizona. No,
definitely. But talking about yesterday's games, first of all, how about Dayton? Shout out to our boy Dustin. He is so happy. Dayton Flyers, that's a great job. And shout out to Archie Miller, Sean Miller's brother, the head coach of the Dayton Flyers. That's a coaching family. Everybody talk about the Harbaugh brothers. Well, these guys, maybe they can meet up in the championship, Arizona versus Dayton. That'd be amazing. And then you got to, even in the loss, you got to give love to Tommy Amaker and Harvard. That was so impressive. They gave they gave Michigan State and Tom Izzo all they could handle in the business. But Michigan State's special. Michigan State is special. You know, and Wisconsin beat Oregon. So, you know, all the games that we talked about on our show the other morning, Saturday. Are you ready for the Sweet 16? Because we're going to preview it on Wednesday night. But are you ready?
I am ready. And not only am I ready, but these Sunday night games are getting me even more jazzed up because we've got everything. We've got favorites. We've got double-digit seeds. We've got one seeds. We got, you know, injuries affecting teams. You know, teams, Iowa State, you know, teams overcoming injuries. So we got a lot of storylines over here.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed with the Tar Heels. They needed to take advantage of that. Not that you wish, you know, Iowa's, you know, big players down, you know, and you figure that they might struggle. They played with such emotion. And, you know, Paige was great. You know, McAdoo, he's always in and out of games. McDonald hit that huge – remember, we were talking off air, and then he hits that big, huge three. It just – they could not get over the hump. And I wonder, like,
well,
sometimes –
Well, but here's the thing. See, I think they – I disagree a little bit because Carolina –
Well, you think they got over the hump?
Forth, they were up
right.
eight, so they just couldn't defend the lead. They couldn't
Well, the
stop
defense was
threes.
Horrible.
The
oh, my
second
gosh.
Half, Iowa hit – I was got to look up at the statistics, but
Meeks
Iowa
with a double-double, 15 and 13.
Kennedy Meeks, as a freshman, he better not come out. He better come back.
No. But Kane got busy.
And then
well, listen, Kane was unstoppable, 24 and 10, with, by the way, 7 assists. That's ridiculous. This tournament has seen some players just come up with some huge performances, you know. And does James Michael McAdoo, is he a first-round pick in the NBA?
Negative. No.
He's really
he
a second-rounder, huh?
Round. Yeah, I think he lost his first-round stats.
14, 7 boards. You know, he just –
It all came
you know,
in the second half,
about,
so you can look at the glass half full or glass half empty.
Right.
I just
no,
think
definitely.
That with his talent level, with his tenure, having played at Carolina, he needs to dominate more, and he's just not a dominant player. He's got some skills. He's got some physical talent.
His motor. They talk about Clowney in the NFL, right? What about his motor?
Well, Clowney can get away with it maybe because he's got outstanding physical
talent.
Yeah. McAdoo is talented, but he's not outstanding. He's not a physical specimen. I mean, yeah, so I'm worried about him. I think he might be able to role play. He might be a role player in the NBA.
Well, how about you talk about this playoff push? The Phoenix Suns get a big win, 127 to 120 over Minnesota. Dallas, trying to stay up there, is 72-65 over Brooklyn. The Knicks are leading Cleveland 86-79. So, you know, as teams go for this, you know, last couple playoff push, and oh, we got to send our best wishes to J.J. Hickson as Denver beats the Wizards tonight. J.J. Hickson torn his ACL, right? You know, when you do it towards the end of the season, he might not be back to after the All-Star break next year. That's bad for Brian Shaw and the Denver Nuggets.
Well,
that lineup
remember,
never stays healthy. It never stays
healthy. He might not be back for the season. I mean, again, look at Derrick Rose and look at Iman Shumpert. They basically ruptured their ACLs at the same time, and one sat out the whole next year, and the other one was back in December. So you never know. But either way, it's not good news.
No. It's really bad. Can Kentucky cut down the nets? I got to know. I got to ask you.
I don't think so. I don't think they can win 4 more games. I think they can give a lot of people trouble with their matchups and their athletic wings, but I just think these freshmen are not ready. I don't think that the Harrison twins had a great game, but I don't think that they have what it takes to win 4 more games. I mean, I just look at their matchups as being – first, I don't think they'll get through Louisville. But then if they were to get through Louisville –
If Louisville can't shoot, though, they can be
that's
beat.
True.
And Kentucky's
that's
already
true.
Beat them.
They
that's
have
the
to,
one thing.
They,
Hancock's
they
off.
They'd have to get through Louisville, then maybe Michigan, then maybe Arizona or Wisconsin to then maybe hit Florida or Michigan State. I mean, woo, those are some tough teams.
That's a lot. Joe, by the way, as we're getting ready to end the show, it's coming out from Kansas, Joel Embiid, no decision after the loss and what he wants to do in terms of joining the NBA. So, you know, great show. You know, we had to do a quickie but goodie. You know, we wanted to share Jared with you from the Bleacher Report, Jared Ziering, and, you know, Ray and Tay, man, we're back, you know, with a little co-production with our boy Edgar Burgos, Hard to Guard Radio. Hopefully, you might hear
Hard
Ray and
Guard.
Tay some rocking with Hard to Guard next Sunday. We're working on it, but you will definitely hear us Wednesday, getting ready for the Sweet 16. We'll break down every game, preview it, and give you a little bit of NFL free agency. And pretty soon, maybe on the 31st, it's the Major League Baseball preview show from Ray and Tay. So we're going to hit them hard.
All right.
Like,
well, have a great
hard.
Have a great week. We'll catch you on Wednesday previewing the madness, the Sweet
Let's
16.
Let's go Baylor Bears. Like them Baylor Bears. Sorry, Dougie McDonald.
Well,
great show.
Playing.
Thanks for listening.
Let's go Knicks. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Peace. Great show. We out.
Okay, here I come, hip-hop's number one son. Or truth be told, I'm more like a younger brother. Cause I've been around since people thought Dana, Slick Rick were brothers. And my philosophy is to make